Is this the show?
This is the show.
Okay.
And are we recording?
Sure. How would we know? It seemed like we were recording last time and then nothing happened.
I think the last time was the second episode that went like to nowhere.
Yeah.
The lost episodes of Small Differences.
I think it's the third one. I think we've had one that dropped out and it was like really good. And then we had the German episode where the sound quality was so terrible.
Yeah.
That I regret the German episode. That was good.
You had to be you had to been there, I guess.
There we go. We just alienated any remaining listeners. Hello, remaining listeners. We're, but don't go. Please don't turn us off. Wait. Do we need to say some kind of apology, confession for the fact that it's been a long time?
I don't think so. I think we should be unapologetic.
Okay.
This is like... This is like an art podcast, you know?
When the mood takes.
It comes out when it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good philosophy. Two Yetis today. Different microphone setup. We'll see whether it's...
Yeah, and where are we?
We're at my house.
At your house?
We're supposed to be at your house in this episode, but it didn't quite work.
No, it didn't. Well, you were in our house.
I was.
But we decided to have a social, evening instead.
It was a much, much better decision to just sit down.
Yeah.
And drink and eat. That was good.
But now we are at your house.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'm here.
Yeah.
Actually. And, you have a view.
It's dark.
You still have a view.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see lights and like the potential.
Yeah. If it was a little bit less foggy, you could see your nearest ski thing from where you live, but it's too foggy.
Is this usually the first thing people say when they come in here?
Everybody.
Yeah, I knew that.
They kind of walk in and go, oh, and then they just look at the view for a little while, so we just let them. Yeah. Come back in the summer when it's lighter.
It's kind of a weird thing to say, actually, because people who visit you don't really get to like enjoy having a view. It's nice when you are here, right? But it's not either like you don't know that you have a view.
I should try that next time, actually. I should be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess. Wow. Hey, come and see this. Get my husband to come and see. Hey, did you know that we have a... Yeah, we have a view. I don't like to boast about it. We love it, but I don't like to make a big deal out of it because it seems very...
Is that true? I've seen pictures.
Yeah, I sent you a thing to go this is what we have, but it wasn't like a kind of like, hey, look at us. Hopefully. It was like, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. And we have it.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you don't want to go all the time because that's, I don't like that.
It also seems that your neighbors aren't in. Or they live in the dark.
It's totally possible that most of them are not in.
Is this some kind of special occasion?
It's Christmas.
It's the holidays, right?
Yeah, right. So maybe they're traveling, they're going to see family.
Yeah, and this is the second last day of 2018.
It is?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, maybe they're away. We don't see them a lot, actually. They're not all here all the time, so. It's mysterious. Yeah, I'm sorry, I had a brief moment of regret of that we didn't call the episode House Sandwich, that we should have, which was about you and your house, which I've now been in, which is a sandwich. It didn't feel like a sandwich.
No, I think the architect drew it not to be as sandwichy.
Mm. So you wouldn't feel like you're all up in people's stuff all the time.
Mm.
Yeah, it kind of works.
It kind of works, but actually this... this Christmas, we noticed the sound from people walking in the stairs. There's a sound
with shoes on, maybe, or
I don't think so.
Mm. They'd have to be walk. You'd have to walk pretty loud, like on the stairs. Yeah. Was it like thump thump thump?
Yeah, I think there has been some kind of increase. I don't know.
Yeah, neighbors, you gotta. Yeah.
You can't live with them.
Yeah.
You can't actually live without them.
Yeah. Except I can't, and clearly you can't right now. So yeah. Yeah, we have occasionally we have neighbor noise also. We'll see if they're not in then. You miss that. That's a good thing.
I wish I had a good segue now to, like, yeah, and talking about neighbors. There could be something there, but I got nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
We haven't even decided on what episode this should be.
Well, I had some kind of, like, warm-up material stuff. So, very warm-up to Christmas, which we talked about when I was at yours, but we didn't record. Listener Chris came to Oslo. And I feel we should mention that, because it was nice that he
did. Yeah, I kind of suspect that this will be a festive episode.
I hope so. Is that cool?
Because we could also do the swearing episode redux, but I don't feel like swearing in the middle of Christmas.
No, we gotta wait.
So fuck that. Let's do a Christmas, because it's almost a tradition for us to do a Christmas episode, right?
Yeah, it is. But also... Yeah. Like, there was a swearing episode, but we fucked it up, appropriately. Like, it went to shit. The recording did not take, and that was my fault, so sorry. We did it. It was crap. We'll do it again. We'll do it better. And half of that episode is also a topic for January, which I'm not going to explain anymore now. But that is a nice loop back to listener Chris, for reasons that will come apparent.
Yeah, Chris. He was here.
He was here.
Yeah, like Kilroy.
I guess.
Yeah.
He didn't do the thing with the wall, though.
As you know.
We just went out to dinner. So full disclosure, listener Chris and I knew each other at university, so it's not like a random stranger meetup. Although we've done those two, not proud. And we went and we ate Christmas dinner because it was the start of November or something. You could go out and get Christmas dinner. We went to a brown place, Brunstel.
What's... Do you call it the brown place? No. What's a brown place?
We talked about this like way ago, but I'm mindful that like we have new listeners who might have started at the recent ones, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not. How to define this is like an old inn or hostelry or kind of restaurant / pub, right? It's like it's been like that forever. It's kind of old school. We were definitely the younger end of the demographic in there.
I believe that a brown place is what you in the UK just call a pub.
Yeah, but it's kind of more than that. It's like an old men's pub almost. It's like...
There's
a thing called an old men's pub in the UK. It's not literally you can go there as a woman or a young person. It's just everyone
isn't
knows
that
what you mean.
Any pub?
No. Yes, but no. More so...
So you have pubs for old men and for younger old men?
No, we don't, like, contrary to, like, popular appearance and stuff, we don't actually segregate that actively. Like, it's not...
It just happens to be
if
so.
If you say to someone, yeah, like, oh, that's kind of an old men's pub, and they'd know what you meant. Like, the ratio of old men drinking in there is just higher. And maybe the walls are brown or dark.
Yeah, the corners hasn't been cleaned for, like... Ever.
Right, I mean, that guy's still there after 30 years. Mm. Yeah, they didn't sweep him out. Yeah.
So you went to this kind of place, and you ate Christmas dinner.
We ate Christmas dinner. I had lutefisk, which I've been dancing around for 2 years now in Norway, and never eaten.
Because you buried it. Well, that's another fish. that's another kind of preparation of fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a fish.
What's lutefisk?
It is cod, right? And you put it in lye, which is like dangerous and no one should. Like, is it very alkaline?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And it's probably not a thing that you want on your person, but if you put a fish in it for a long time, the whole thing turns kind of to jelly, including the bones. The bones were like jelly. This was so strange. That does not necessarily sound particularly appealing, but it was all right. And it comes with bacon bits that have been kind of in their own fat. Like, the ratio of bacon to fat in this bowl is approximately 1 to 2. And then you spoon this kind of grease and bacon over the... I didn't want to do the hand action, so I can't help myself. Good radio, this. You spoon this over the fish and you eat the fish, and the bacon is salty, which is a nice complement to the fish, which is kind of sweet, the way cod is, and kind of a little bit gelatinous, but not weird. And so everybody was like, oh, lutefisk, oh, it's horrible. Like, lots of people don't eat it. Lots of Norwegians won't eat lutefisk. It's fine.
Yeah,
get over yourselves.
I think okay is a perfect description. There is all this fuss around it.
The texture, I think people don't like.
They say that.
Or is it the fat? Look. Is it just the sheer amount of bacon fat that is like dripping off this thing? Or?
I suspect that there's like talking about lutefisk and actually eating it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. This is a nation of people who talk about lutefisk.
Yeah, yeah. There's an idea, a representation of it, and there's the real thing.
Mm. Which people in North Norway eat, right? It's mostly
I would guess so.
Mm.
But they also like eat like fresh cod for Christmas dinner, so yeah.
Which is better, because the cod here is amazing. I had that. Chris had a thing that you corrected me when we spoke about this before. It was the Christmas plate.
Yeah.
It's like this big plate of meat and everything. And you were like, no, it's the Christmas plate. Okay. So now we know that.
It is a big plate of meat and everything.
Yeah, it pretty much was. And it was pretty good. We did a little sort of exchange, and I tried some of that, and he tried some of the lutefisk. I think he came back and tried some more. It wasn't like he was like, oh, right, I'm done with that. Thanks for that. That wasn't a bust. And they brought the other thing. I showed you a picture before. Before the meat and fish and stuff came, they brought this. They brought something. It could have been a starter. It was like these little flat lefse things, like the savory, like potato scone pancake things, flat. And they brought a plate with three little dishes, and one of them had mustard powder, and one of them had made-up mustard, like wet mustard, and the third was like honey, but it wasn't fructosey enough. It was like, I don't know, like a really light honey. And we didn't know how to eat this. Like, do you, like, put the honey on the bread thing, and then you, like, put some of the mustard powder on? Do you dip it in the mustard powder? What? Why?
So this is the first time I've heard of this also, and it it sounds almost like someone has been to an Indian restaurant, and they had the papadums and the raitan and like the things.
Right.
And the chutneys, and so, and I kind of made the same thing with a Norwegian twist, or I don't see mustard as particularly Norwegian. That's more German to me.
But now I'm just wondering, did we get hazed? Was this like, did they clock us on the way? I've never been to a place like this before, but instead, like, virgins, basically. Should we bring them something super weird, right? What can we get from the kitchen that just makes no sense? Bring them that, see if they eat it.
I don't know, because they're doing all sorts of weird food stuff here.
This was not a hipster place, though. This was the antithesis of hipster place.
But like, in this part of the country, they have tradition, like, eating hot dogs out of a waffle. So, who knows?
That's for the South, but sure, yeah. Right, yeah, good point. Like, new in the East interlude. Like, what weird madness have you observed since moving here? Especially in the food department. If any.
Well, since we are making our own food.
Mm.
Well, so Christmas for us didn't go as planned because my wife got sick.
Sorry to hear that.
We had to be home instead of traveling to my parents, like at the West Coast. So I had to like muster a last minute Christmas dinner.
Mustard.
Yeah. Like the day before.
Oh. So what did you do?
So what we usually do is to spend weeks researching for the best pinnacot.
Seriously?
To talking with the farmers. Well, I'm really sort of kidding, but not. My brother actually has connections with like
the food
sheep herders and stuff like that. So he points at the sheep. This individual, we want that for dinner. And
you literally get to choose your own sheep.
Yeah.
Wow.
But this time I had to go to the grocery store.
Like an animal.
Yeah. To buy an animal, or what I hoped was an animal. Mm. In this part of the country, there are slightly different default preference for Christmas dinner. That's like pork.
Mm.
And the accessories that we have. Mm. Like Christmas sausage.
Right.
What's kale? The kale.
Stuff. Or turnip or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. And so on. But they had like a section for like the sheep's meat.
Mm.
And they had a cheap sheep.
Cheap sheep.
And a slightly more expensive sheep. So
no fancy sheep.
Not in that way.
Mm.
But like slightly more, like with more meat, because the cheap sheep,
hard to say,
that's mostly fat and bone. Oh. Yeah. So I went for the premium.
Mm.
But it was like a selection of like the part of the rib that has the most meat on it.
Okay.
Like the chopped part. So only those pieces, which is not the same, because you also want kind of the rib,
right?
Bones, yeah. Stuff. Good radio.
lots of gesticulating.
So yeah. So what I discovered that they were less salty than I'm used to. So when I watered this out, we actually had to put salt on the dinner afterwards. Whoa. Which is...
This is unheard of.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is never necessary.
So East Coast sheep's meat, weak ass.
Yeah.
Mm.
And kind of put in a corner.
Nobody puts ba-ba in the corner. Best I could do. I know. So did you manage to scavenge this kind of rudimentary Christmas dinner on very short notice?
Yeah, I did.
And it was satisfactory.
It was okay.
Hmm. I just remembered that I scared you and your wife with mince pies.
You didn't scare us?
I think I scared you a little bit.
Why?
Well, they didn't go over very well.
Well, I did actually eat almost the whole thing.
One mince pie. What a hero. It's not unusual for people to put away like two at a time. Like, these are, it's really interesting. I thought a lot about that in the aftermath, because like the whole of kind of British traditional Christmas sweet food is dried fruit. And if you're not for dried fruit, then like there's nothing for you. So we've had the mince pies. We had Christmas cake, which is basically just like a very, very rich dried fruit, dense cake. And then on Christmas Day, we had Christmas pudding, which is basically just lots of dried fruit with a little bit of animal fat to kind of hold it all together. And you boil it as a pudding for 2 hours and then you eat it. And
yeah, it sounds delicious.
No, never going to eat that. I did think about, we finished it today, I think about saving some for you and offering it to you, knowing that you would not possibly like it. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. You don't think about the amount of dried fruit in British sweet Christmas food stuffs. But I know there are British people who don't like it, so they are shit out loud.
So you are excused.
You're excused.
But you have like traditional food that you sort of have to grow up with, to be used to. Have you ever encountered something like that, like from the Norwegian cuisine?
Well, that everyone just kind of likes and I think is weird.
Yeah.
But Inos is probably the closest, but like I like that, so it's not a drama. I don't think I've met anything here that I've just been like, oh, that is disgusting.
Yeah, but mince pie wasn't disgusting.
Well, okay.
It was kind of like not my preference.
Yeah, okay. I don't like roe. Like, what the hell is it called? It comes in a tube.
Like caviar?
Yeah.
But not expensive.
Yeah, kind. Like cheap caviar mixed stuff. I don't really... I didn't get it.
Yeah, for me. That. Yeah.
My husband really likes it.
It's salty.
Yeah.
And like seafoody.
But also mayonnaise and stuff in it, and like.
Is it?
There's a kind you can get that's got mayonnaise, and that's the kind he likes. It's kind of
some mix things.
I think mayonnaise is basically the food of the devil. So.
But you get the stuff with only the, like, without, like, only it's roe?
Yeah, fish roe, yeah. This was new for him recently because I had to get him something. They didn't have the usual one that he gets, and so I got him something else, and he was like, oh, this is more fish. And so he got on the website, and there's this whole, like, rating system about, like, how much fish and what kind and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, I've been doing it wrong. This is mostly mayonnaise. But he likes mayonnaise, so go figure. There is nothing else that I thought that was singular. I mean, lutefisk is weird. It's like a kind of unusual set of choices. Like, what had to happen for someone to invent that and think, oh, that's good eating? Like, what was there an accident in the kitchen or like in a hardware store? Or what?
Yeah, but this is this is like a category of food. Like, how did I come up with this? Like, pissing on a shark. Why? Right.
Right. Wait, people eat that?
Huh?
People eat pissed on shark?
Yeah.
I thought it was seal.
Perhaps it's... Well, isn't the shark also...
No, I'm thinking of grated puffin. I got nothing.
Grated puffin?
Yeah, there's something on TV.
Let's kill that bird.
But then let's freeze dry it. And then let's grate it over your, like, pissed on seal or whatever. I'm sure I've seen something about this on TV. I don't think I made this up. That's pretty cruel. I mean, like...
Yeah. but there is, like... This is a thing.
Mm.
Like,
mm. Who decided either to make that or who decided that that was going to be okay to eat?
But I can reason about, like, lutefisk because before the fridge... technology.
Mm.
You had to preserve food in all kind of ways.
Yeah, burying it in the ground was popular.
Yeah, putting it in salt, or like can it.
Mm.
And when it comes to the can it methodologies,
vinegar.
You had some lying around. Let's put some that in a jar.
Around, I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what happens if you push on fish, because fish was all you had.
What were people using lye for before? Because I'm not convinced that that was like a food stuff. I think it's not a thing you want to consume in its kind of raw state.
Can't you use it to like bleach clothes?
And worse,
And
dissolve and bodies? That's in the wire, isn't that like, what they use? Like the full strength stuff, or was that something else?
Yeah, if you are in the organized crime industry, you can use it to, like...
I like that you're dignifying that with its own industry. I like that's kind of, yeah. Oh, you work in that industry. Oh, yeah. How's business?
But you also use it for, like, cleaning and stuff like that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, like, to my mind, it's a caustic and potentially dangerous substance. So it's fascinating to me that you use it to prepare food and that the food can then be consumed without apparent ill effect. Like, I'm still here, and this was, like, 2 months ago, so I'm assuming that was okay.
Yeah, but can't you just, like, rinse it off? And then it's, like...
I don't know. Like, it's... And meanwhile, the fish has undergone this kind of, like...
Well, bananas are radioactive, so...
Well, sure. I guess. But, like, if there was any justice, right, the fish would have undergone this kind of superhero, like, transformation process where, like, having been exposed to the lie... The cod has now sort of super... Well, it's not superhuman powers. What does a cod have? Superficial powers.
Supermarine powers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I think the fish lost that one.
Also, I heard a radio program about, like, in Japan, they have, like... fermented fish.
Yes. I've heard that's quite difficult as a foreigner to adapt to.
Yeah, but it's like many, many, many years of fermentation in this like milk bacteria culture stuff.
I would try that. But apparently the smell of some of the fermented stuff is really, like, if you're not used to it, it's very difficult.
I guess sometime in the future, this podcast will be adapted to, like, a TV show.
Sure,
where
we
can go
to
different
for
places
to
and point out the small, huge differences. and then we could have a Japan episode.
Oh, that would be nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should get on that.
Like an idiot abroad, just not the idiot part.
Oh, I was going to say just not the abroad part, but...
Two smart asses abroad.
Someone needs to pay us to make this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What could
be the problem?
And every time we come into a person's house or a home, we can point out, oh, that's a view. Did you know? You have it.
And it's always dark. That's the shtick. Yeah. We go there because of the view and then it's always dark. Yeah. Or foggy. Or both. Still with the Christmas theme.
Yeah.
I wanted to redress the, let's not call it wrong, let's call it a misstep, the culinary misstep, and tackle this from the other part of my my heritage, which is to say, make you Czech Christmas cookies. Voila.
Yeah, you have brought, they're obviously not British.
They are.
Because there are no dried fruit.
There's no dried fruit.
Even though they are shaped kind of like bananas.
They're not radioactive, that I'm aware of.
Is it an intended banana shape?
It's a crescent shape.
A crescent shape. Yeah. Is it sugar or like...
There is some sugar.
Powdered.
There's powdered sugar on the outside. Not very much on the inside. Please.
I think the Czechs has won.
Yeah.
Up on... The Brits here.
It was never going to be a close contest, I don't think.
So this is like sugar almonds.
Oh, so close.
Because it's a bit marzipan-y.
Oh, okay, I get that. It's not almonds.
It's a hazel.
It is.
Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm. And butter, because you can't really bake Czech stuff without masses of butter.
Yeah. Yeah, because Christmas cakes seems to be mostly different combinations of sugar, butter, and some kind of flour.
Hmm. Norway has 7 kinds of Christmas biscuit, right?
No, but more.
Really?
Hmm.
Which of the 7? How do you choose the 7? Is this some kind of knockout competition? What?
So the thing is that you have to ensure that you have at least 7 different kinds of Christmas cookies or bakery.
Hmm. What happens if you don't? What's the penalty?
Your neighbors will talk about you. You will set your family name in Wayne?
In disrepute?
In disrepute, yeah, perhaps, yeah.
Hmm. It's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why 7?
The crops will
fail.
Will fail. Your daughters will not be married. I don't know.
Well, that part I'm sure the daughters can probably live with, but... And why 7? What's the significance?
As like the podcast's cultural expert,
yes,
7 tends to be a significant number. It is in many cultures, but in this context, I would say I think the thing is that by doing 7, you show some kind of like.
Virtuosity or breadth.
Yes, or some like, what's like the word here?
Do the hand, move the arms again, that's helping. No, really.
It's like social fitness in a way.
Oh, okay, competence, kind of.
not competence, but I don't know, making different kinds of Christmas cookies, it's not a problem.
Okay.
We can do that. Mm. We have the time, we have like the resources.
Okay.
And the attention, so no problem.
So you're sort of saying, look at me, I can cut it, this is, you know.
Yeah, okay. We are a proper household.
With a cookie cutter, I guess.
Mm.
Did you make any cookies?
No.
Then your crops are doomed to fail.
Yeah.
And your neighbors hate you. And
yeah.
Mm, shame. Do you have to share these with the neighbors?
That depends on your relationship with the neighbors.
Well, sure. But it seems to me a little un-Norwegian to, like, go and bang on the door and say, I made you stuff.
Yes and no. So, it's not that uncommon for people, or, well, you always have some people that like to bake.
Mm.
And for the sharing stuff, it is a tradition for someone to make, like, Christmas breads, and share that, or like go around and give bread to a friend, or a neighbor, because sometimes you're actually friends with your neighbors.
Okay,
perhaps more in suburban environment, but yeah, or and. It also happens that if you have some acquaintance, like if you have established a Christmas gift exchange with people that you are not that close to, in this gift it can sometimes be like bakeries or cookies,
okay,
or something like that.
It's like a kind of low grade thing. I made an effort, but you know,
yeah.
I didn't go nuts, except.
What we don't do is to, like, visit people and force them to eat dried fruit-based.
I will never live this down. Fine, whatever. Have another. No, don't have another one. Exhibit B. Do another one if you want. But
what are these called?
Vanilkové rohlíčky.
What does that translate to?
Little vanilla rolls.
Quite literal.
Quite literally.
I didn't taste some. I will taste another one afterwards, but vanilla?
They should have had more vanilla. They had a little bit of vanilla.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have more, but I didn't have any vanilla sugar.
Mm.
So that's on me. But exhibit B. This is not a Christmas treat. This is a year-round thing.
Yeah, it's German.
And these are from Carlsbad, which...
Oblaten.
Mit Butter,
Haselnüssen und Mandeln.
What are they called? Opladki. They should be Karlovy Oplatky, which is the same thing, I think, which is like records. Plater.
Yeah. This is...
It's in Germany, because I found them and I'm excited.
You can actually say Oblat in Norwegian as well.
Yeah? For plater?
No.
Or?
It's not a regular word.
Okay.
And... I've heard it almost exclusively in like the context of not bad. This is a word I should know. Like during the service when you have the wine and the bread.
Yeah. Communion?
Communion, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, so in
how
communion...
How can I help with any religion-related questions you may have?
Yeah. you are given, like this small...
Yeah.
Like, coin-shaped, quotation mark, bread thing.
Yes.
That's called oblat in the Norwegian liturgical vocabulary.
I did not know that. That is interesting.
This looks to be a lot bigger, though.
Yes, a little bit.
Says,
this is a very large communion.
So there are five of these, and it's almost like a 45-er.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the ones that I know are actually more like 33s. This is small. Normally these are like actual record, almost record size, like the size of this plate.
Yeah. And it looks like the packaging, it looks like something you bought in the 80s.
Yeah. Probably
It
try some.
says like the date stamp. It's like June 2019, so it should be
It should
okay.
be okay. It says made in Germany. I'm disappointed. I genuinely hope that they would actually
Yeah,
be
even
from
with a German
Karlovy
flag,
Vary, which is
yeah.
in the Czech Republic, or Czechia, or whatever they are now preferring to be called by.
Should I break the seal?
I think you
They
should.
actually have also illustration of steel on the back.
Very important, yes.
Yeah. Let's do it then. Weak seal.
These things where you rip like a line of cardboard across the top of a packet, they never work. This is a triumph of hope over experience.
Some foliage here. So there's like a silver packet inside the
Yeah.
cardboard.
See, I remember when this was actual foil with paper in it. Very disappointed.
Yeah, so this also is a sealed silver
I guess they keep better.
aluminium packet. And you can tear it open. And the oblaten, they are like
Or
loose
oblatek, if you want to be Czech for me.
in the packet.
That is not a good noise.
It's kind of hard to open this.
Yeah, I've been thinking pretty thought very much about the unboxing
Like, I
experience
messed
here.
it up. Yeah,
There you go.
there we go. Yeah, I guess we should have one
I think
each.
so. Thank
Yeah,
you. See, this is, I needed
it's like.
these at the start where I was trying to say confession for like not having put out an episode for a while. Like
Yeah.
this is your big ass communion.
Yeah,
I need to
it's.
take a picture of this actually, just for like taking big ass communion.
We should have something. Well, I can have my face as
I
for
don't even have
scale.
like a banana for scale. Oh, you got like a banana shaped cookie for scale.
Yeah, and it has an imprint, the feine oblate.
It's the good one. It's not just
Yeah.
like the
What do you think this? What is this shape thing?
why they
It is.
round.
It's all almost esoteric in a way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, oplotki was like records, but I think it was just, I don't know why they started doing them like this, because this is like a from Carlsbad as a spa town. Like these go back like, I don't know, 100 years at least.
Yeah,
I don't know.
and I guess
And
if you should go eat it as a grown up, you have actually to break off a piece.
oh, is that what you can do?
Yeah,
I would just like to.
and it's like the it's a bit cardboardy or like isopor. What's the how, isopor? What's that
I'm not
in
sure what. I recognize that it's a word, but I don't know what it is.
Like the white stuff that you have in IKEA packages, like what's that one again?
Polystyrene kind of
Yeah,
that's funny.
it's like somewhere in between that and cardboard. And it tastes, it's sweet.
Okay.
There's some nut action, and that's mostly it.
Okay. Is it good?
Yeah.
Is the cardboard like, is it on the right side of cardboard? Is it kind of suitably crisp or?
Kind of melts
Yeah.
because of all the sugar, I guess.
How does it stack up against communion wafers? Apart from the size thing. Obviously, it wins in
They
size.
taste nothing. Especially when you have the wine, you only taste the wine.
Is the wine any good? Never having taken
No, it
communion, not being
isn't.
Catholic.
Are these usually eaten just by themselves or with something?
I have no frame of reference. My frame of reference is sometimes we used to get these when I was a kid because Czechoslovakia as was. And I always remember them as being really fun and really nice. I remember them being thinner than this, but whether they actually. I think this has got a neat edge. The ones I remember have been kind of pressed and they had a ragged edge.
But it actually is, it seems to be two layers. So in between like the bread or whatever, there you have the sugar and the nuts, I think.
Mm-hmm. Would more people go to church if this was communion wafer?
Oh.
Is this good?
It's kind of dry.
Do you want more beer?
Soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or coffee, or... It's probably better with coffee.
It's fine with beer.
Close enough to communion. Okay.
So, the Czech, like, this representative sample of Czech, like dessert stuff, it seems to be much more sweeter and more emphasis on like, the nut.
Yeah. Good time with Tre Nøtter for Askepott, which are hazelnuts.
Yeah, they are.
We talked about Askepott before.
We have.
Brief summary.
Did you see it?
No.
Again?
I saw it the first 2 years. The first year I was just about hanging in there, language-wise. The second year I wanted to watch it again because it was fun. And I totally forgot about it this year for whatever reason. We had a very kind of low-key Christmas, I just forgot. Otherwise I might have watched it. Did you?
Yeah, we did actually.
Do you usually?
Yeah, it seems to be something that happens.
Hmm. Quick recap. This is a Czech East German co-production of Cinderella from
70s.
And it's kind of charming, but the Norwegian thing that makes it is it's entirely overdubbed by one guy doing all the voices and not taking himself too seriously, and it's delightful.
Yeah, and dubbing isn't actually that common. We are a nation of closed captioning, rather. But I think we have covered that before.
We have. Yeah. We talked about it quite a lot.
So, yeah. For our Norwegian listeners, I think in Morgenblad, one of the weekly newspapers more on the intellectual side of things, they had an podcast episode about the linguistics of the dub.
Yeah, that's super good. It's definitely worth listening. I enjoyed that. They just had it again recently. I think they kind of dug it out and played it again because it's Christmas. It's a good one. Okay. All right, so Czech Republic wins at Christmas dessert. This is a fraction. There's probably many other things that I don't know about.
We haven't actually covered the Norwegian.
We should get on that. Tell me, how was your Norwegian? Have you cookied? You didn't bake, but did you buy seven times?
I did visit home. In my parents' house, there are cookies. There haven't been.
There were cookies.
Yeah, there are still cookies. Okay. They always make way too much, but
parents bake properly? Do they really do all the seven and?
Yeah, so again, there are quite a large collection of cookies that you can make that surpass seven, but you can choose seven of those and do them. So my mother asked me and my siblings some weeks before, what kinds do you want? And we told her what we hoped for, and she made them.
Wow.
And also my dad, because he has his specialties. I think there were smultring, which is the donut, peppernut, which is pepper nut.
a ginger nut,
yeah.
It's different from pepperkaker, right? Or
it is. There isn't any pepper in them. They are actually more sweet, syrupy. Well, again, it's mostly different combinations of butters, sugar, and flour. Right. But
with ginger, maybe?
I don't think there are.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Is there ginger in gingerbread, even?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like in the paprikaka? Yeah?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe
I
a little bit, but it's mostly syrup and...
And like...
cinnamon or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or not,
there should be ginger in there, I think.
The other thing that we have. Like
cardamom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that in English?
Cardamom.
Yeah. Okay. And we have knäppkakor.
Which are?
Oh, I can't even translate those. But,
what are they? Describe.
Well, they are a combination of sugar, butter, and flour.
Uh-huh. But what shape are they? Or what mouth feel
like
do they have?
They are flat and round.
Okay. Okay. Are they crumbly? Are they brittle?
I think they are more on the brittle side of things.
Mm.
You have to like chew them a bit or like have some force.
Okay.
Yeah. Sandkake. Sand cakes.
Is this like a sponge? I've never had this. How is it?
So you make them in like this form, which is like star shape, concave ish.
Okay.
And well, they are called sand cakes, so they are very crumbly.
Okay. But it's cake and not a cookie.
No, it's a cookie. It's butter,
sugar,
and
so it's
flour.
Like shortbread kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of like shortbread.
Okay.
And kakeman.
Like gingerbread man?
No, it's like the eller juleman. So in November they start to have this in the store. They are like this white pepperkake shaped things, and they have like red, like
more waving of hands.
Yeah, because now I realize that, like, my baking vocabulary...
In English?
Are not that great.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to work on this. Are they... Okay. So they're not like Lebkuchen or something like that? Or...
So... But these are... You see these in the stores, like, before Christmas.
Mm.
And they're like, white
mm.
and shaped like people.
Okay, yeah, kind of like gingerbread man, but it's not gingerbread, it's just like cookies with people on.
Yeah, and they are a bit addictive, but they have an ingredient, it's called horn salt in Norwegian, which is...
Is this kosher salt or something else?
No, it is... Hmm.
Tense moments of Googling.
Yeah. Hartshorn salt.
Yeah, but you don't like literally get a deer and grate it, do you?
I don't think so. ammonium bicarbonate.
Ammonium bicarbonate, okay. So it's... Oh,
NH4HCO3.
So it tastes kind of...
It's really strong smelling.
Yeah. Okay. Like a kind of baking soda kind of thing, I wonder, or... Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of like a baking soda, but
you
don't have that much of it.
Okay. Weird thing to put in. All right. Mm. You were naming cakes.
Yeah. And how many do I...
You were maybe on 5 or so?
Yeah. I think fattig mann.
Go on. Which is?
Well, directly translated, it's like poor man.
Okay. But what is it?
It's like, again, kind of like shortbread.
Mm.
But it's like more like a thin wafer.
Okay.
And you like put an almond on top of it.
Hmm. Did you have a kransekake?
Yeah, and that's the last one.
Mm, those are good. Yeah. Like the sticks or the rings that stack up?
It was the sticks.
Hmm. These are like wreath cakes, right? So like traditionally they're kind of donut shaped, but they're increasingly small and you stack them up on each other. And is this a German originally?
I don't know. It seems Germanish.
Mm. I don't know. Who knows? Bakery doesn't have any borders. Bakers without borders. There you go. That's like a whole.
Yeah.
Patisserie sans frontières or whatever.
So, but the last, like, Kranzkuchen, that's like the marzipan in cake form, actually. Because you make it by grating almonds and mixing that with a lot of sugar and some flour, and then you bake it.
Sounds good. Did you have a marzipan pig?
Yeah, we actually had the marzipan pig.
Who made the marzipan pig?
My father does.
Cool.
But this, it's not, it's with a twist because...
In the tail?
So we have this like pig form. Pig shaped casting tin thing.
In two halves?
Yeah.
Okay, like the left and right half of the pig, not the front half and the back half. It's not a pantomime pig. Okay. Oh, yes, it is. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. On. So and you like cover this with marzipan and in like just only the outer shell.
Mm.
And inside of it, you have something called Delphia kake.
Okay.
Which is I just have to Google Delphia fat. So it's, I think you just have to cut this in post.
Obviously. It's just me chewing on this wafer. And,
Do we even have that in Norway? Oh, really? Huh. So it's like... it's like fat from a coconut.
Hmm.
You can buy like like butter sticks like of this stuff and you can melt it.
Yeah.
And you mix it with chocolate and probably sugar.
Okay. Because Christmas.
And
this goes in the pig?
This goes in the pig. And instead of this, again, you have like jelly... It's not jelly beans, but like this jelly candy thing.
Okay.
And biscuits.
And this all goes in the pig?
Yeah.
And is there a like competition to get a different thing when you like, if you get your part of the pig, I got the beans, or how does this work?
No competition. Well, the competition is, are you able to eat even a piece of this? Because it's
just all sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And my father, and he, contrary to, he isn't a big man, but he eats this with like vanilla sauce. So it's like, you take sugar and fill it with sugar, with some sugar in it,
oh
and
my
then
God.
You pour sugar over it.
I'm so impressed by your father.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to do that, but I can't. It just doesn't.
So just a thin slice of this, you can probably go into hibernation for 7 months afterwards.
Probably go into some kind of diabetic coma, but sure, wow. I forgot to mention a thing before. These Czech cookies, the moon-shaped ones, the crescent ones, they're fresh and they're crispy. And this is not how my grandmother would do them. She would make them 2 weeks before. And they would sit and they would slowly go soggy.
Hmm.
And that's how you're supposed to have them, she said. Discuss. Should biscuits be crispy and kind of, sure. What do I mean? Crumbly.
Well, we have the same discussion when it comes to Kranzkuchen, actually.
Hmm.
Because if you buy that in like in the store, it tends to be a bit soggy. Or
yeah, it's kind of chewy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a chew toy, like for yeah. humans.
But when you make them yourselves, as people, some people prefer to have them like crunchy.
Hmm. Do I have to be like fresh out of the oven for that?
No. Well, yeah, you like have it in the oven a bit longer.
Oh, okay.
Or something.
Magic happens, yeah. We don't know. All right. Hmm.
And I think they tend to be get more crunchy when you like leave it on the counter.
I'm not sure if I would call them crunchy unless they get really, really kind of dry. I would think of them as being more chewy. More.
That's because you haven't had the crunchy ones.
Okay, sorry.
Why am I losing my voice now?
I don't know. Well, it's your turn. The day after I came to your house, I had my voice. I could not speak. I took the day off. That was not well.
Observation. Yes. Like in Eastern Europe, and I think also in Middle East, they kind of have this sugary white powder stuff.
Yeah.
On most desserts.
Okay.
Which are kind of making them a bit hard to actually eat without getting messy.
Right. I think this is a way of knowing who's had a cookie. So this has always been my test at work. I take these to work sometimes. And you know who's had because you see them later on and they've got like this little drizzle of kind of powdered sugar down their front or on their jeans or...
So you can assume they had a cookie or...
They had a cookie, yeah. Or, you know, they're like a cocaine user, but yeah, like...
Or both.
Or both, yeah, yeah. Let's not exclude possibilities. Yeah. I don't know. They are messy, but maybe that's the point. It looks snowy. It looks kind of, you know, seasonal.
Mm.
And this is going to be a terrible picture now, but I realize I should take a picture. This is going to be a cover art. Oh, it's not good when there's missing ones in the middle, but that's just going to have to do.
Yeah, so one tangent is like food that's is messy.
Okay.
And what's up with that?
Oh, this is going to... Okay, do your stand-up thing. I'm just going to sit.
What's the deal?
What is the deal with messy food? Okay.
Because, for example, hamburgers...
Okay.
...tends to be a bit hard to eat.
Yes. One of the reasons I don't enjoy eating
Either because they are too tall for some reason,
yeah,
or if you actually like do a thing where you're drunk and you eat the hamburger as you are allegedly supposed to eat it, like
out from
like the paper bag thing, and you chew into it, all the sauce are like gathering in the bottom, and
it's not good.
Yeah, no.
I don't like a wet burger, I gotta say. Like, I don't think I should be having to eat it, like, out over a plate or other surface. But a dry burger is a terrible thing also.
Yeah, and if you use cutlery, you look like a snob.
Well, you're missing something from the whole experience. Yeah. Like, a hamburger is made to be held in the hand. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not my husband is the burger fan. I'm not. I'm indifferent. So allowed to be indifferent about hamburgers.
Yeah, I think the best drunken food is the kebab that comes served in the aluminium foil.
I have eaten maybe two kebabs in my entire life. Explain. Don't look at me like that. I'm not a kebab person. I think when I was a student, I was mostly vegetarian, so I didn't eat kebabs. You could get veggie kebabs. It was a whole different setup though.
Yeah. Well, this is like true Norwegian cuisine, because everyone eats it. Well, almost everyone, obviously. But obviously.
What is the essence of a Norwegian kebab? First, it's 2 a.m.
Thinly sliced meat and vegetables, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Served in.
Like a wrap. What do you call it, actually?
Pita bread? Other?
Yeah, well, it started with pita bread.
Mm.
But then it was like almost like the tortilla, right?
Okay.
But yeah.
But now what? What do you get your kebab in now? Is it like a deep fried?
No, the frying stuff, that's Scottish. No yes, frying
and.
Involved.
Yes, and.
Well, it's still like the lefse.
Okay. It's still some kind of bready, pancakey kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's rolled in aluminium foil.
Okay. So like a burrito.
Yeah, so you like tear it up
as
you go along. And
yeah. That's a good way to eat a burrito. I'm a burrito fan. Except Norwegian burritos, which I think I've complained about before.
Yeah, no, that they are no good.
They've got curry flavour in them. This is just wrong.
But kebab, you should probably have more kebab.
It's the meat, right? Where does the meat come from?
You don't ask questions like, well, I wouldn't actually...
Is there some, like...
Because...
you work in
this
Hipster
is mostly
Central.
Halal meat.
Mm.
That seems to be pretty, like, more strict about how it becomes than other kinds of almost meats.
Yeah, but, like, is this, like, floor sweepings, or...
No. It's actually from a ritual.
No, no,
and some people
I understand,
are annoyed
by
that fact.
But like after that, what happens to that? Like, they take
also,
the good
you can
meat
also
away.
Choose between having, like, chicken, like, and you don't ask questions about that, or lamb, or beef.
Mm. Why would I have lamb? Now you're making me miss Turkish restaurants. I should go to some here. I lived in North London for 2-3 years, and Turkish restaurants, there's a lot of Turkish people, or people from Turkey originally, or their families are from Turkey in North London, and the Turkish restaurants, oh my god, they grill things, including the bread smells smoky, it's amazing. There must be places here I should go. Alright, I will report back. It seems very appropriate that the Christmas episode is just food talk.
It tends to be much about food.
Yeah, I think I've put on the requisite 2 kilos or whatever and I need to stop.
Yeah. That brings us perhaps into, like, New Year's resolutions.
Oh, I got a good one.
Okay.
I stole this from a friend who has decided to do this. I am only going to post positive recommendation stuff on social media.
Lol.
We'll see how long this lasts. We'll see how long this lasts.
And which social medias are you in right now?
Well, just Mastodon, and I'm not there a lot. But...
And who else is
like
on...
two other people are there, I know. Like, I thought it was a good resolution. I thought it was like, well, the kind of posting angrily, posting shit, getting stuck into the whole, like, here's everything that is wrong with the world and I'm unhappy kind of tantrum stuff does not work.
It doesn't.
And it doesn't make anyone happier, I don't think.
No, it doesn't.
So, being a net contributor to positive things and they're going, hey, this thing's really cool.
Yeah, I kind of have done this already.
Ooh.
Kind of.
In that?
Well, when I started like my new position as a developer advocate in a multinational startup.
Wait. What?
So, like, being a developer advocate person, you are someone on the internet helping people with the product and whatever.
You're highly visible.
And we are aiming for world dominance, right? So, I sort of made the decision to, like, only start tweeting in English. And, like, not getting involved with, like, Norwegian whatever stuff.
Huh.
Like, politics or whatever.
Do you think anyone minds that who can't read Norwegian? Do you think they're bothered by that? If you were to do that?
I don't know. It's so hard to say with Twitter because it's the feed. Like, you just, if people don't understand it, they will just probably ignore it. I don't think I have any followers that like, let's see what Knut has posted today. Let's go to his homepage to browse for the tweets.
Oh, right? You on MySpace.
So I don't think it's people mind it as much, and I have like acquaintances that do both, but it was more for me. It was like a good excuse to like don't get in on the whole, because the Norwegian Twitter discourse is mostly complaining about something in a group, right?
I think that's all Twitter discourse anywhere.
Yes and no. But like withdrawing from that discourse, that was kind of, I don't miss it at all. And it's kind of nice to say, I don't have to be involved with that. I can still see it, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll report back on this. That's all I got for resolutions. I haven't really thought very hard about it. Well, drop these 2 kilos, maybe.
Where are we going to drop them?
skiing, like today. In the gym, anywhere I can.
Yeah, you went skiing today?
Oh, yeah, just a little around the park.
So, yeah, because there's snow here.
Yeah,
yeah.
White Christmas.
Yeah,
which indeed. I'm told is not like a guarantee in Norway.
It isn't.
Is it your first White Christmas for a while?
I think it actually is.
Huh.
Yeah.
See, we do things right here on the East Coast. Some things. If you like snow. Have you been out?
In the snow?
Yeah. Have you done any kind of like winter sportsing?
No. I've almost slipped on ice many times. but besides that, well, I will actually probably buy some skis come January.
Do you have like old ones?
No.
Oh, I thought you did. Yeah, you should buy some. You've got like a bunch of tracks, I think, near where you live. There's like tracks everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, you should totally do it. Cool. You're going to buy them on Finn?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Resolutions? Are you the kind of person who makes New Year's resolutions?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm not the kind of person that keeps them.
Well, I think that's traditional. I think you're absolutely in the middle of the demographic
there. I downloaded a new app, which is kind of resolution-y. Or
okay.
Called AutoSleep.
Called who now?
AutoSleep. It's like a sleep tracking app.
Oh, okay.
With many meters.
Okay. So you can like quantify yourself up to the zoo. Okay.
And it has this concept of sleep hygiene.
Okay.
So I will try to work with that.
Okay. How do you define sleep hygiene? How does it, like, what is sleep hygiene?
I think it's some kind of score based on how much sleep you get and what kind of sleep you get.
Okay.
And how you are able to like stay on a schedule.
That was the thing that occurred to me when you said hygiene. It's like the hygiene factor is, are you going to bed at the same time every day? Is there a light in your bedroom? Is there?
But I think you also kind of have to find your circadian rhythm.
What if that's fundamentally out of whack though? Because I'm on mid-Atlantic time right now. Like as a result of the Christmas holiday, my day has just been getting longer and longer and longer, like by a half hour a day or something.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I think we actually, if you buy some of these like sun lamps.
Oh, the kind of blue daylight lamps. Yeah.
I think you can like trick your brain.
My husband had one for a while. I don't know if we still have it or not. But maybe I should look at that.
And I think also you should like pay attention to when you eat and stuff.
Okay.
But I also suspect that I will do quite a bit of traveling next year or in 2019. Also like transatlantic traveling.
Yeah.
So that would be...
You have to be on top of the kind of the jet lag and the sleep schedule and the eating schedule and the...
I actually also have an app for that.
You said you were going to report back when we talked last.
Yeah, called Time Shifter.
And?
And well,
what was the episode? We talked about this, but it was the episode that didn't work.
Probably.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk about it. So you plot in your itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you the schedule for when you are should like avoid or drink coffee.
Mm. Yeah.
If you are doing the melatonin stuff, when you should take that.
Mm-hmm.
When you are supposed to go to sleep and when you are supposed to avoid light, sunlight and stuff like that. So I did it last time I was in San Francisco, and I think it worked.
How many days was it before you didn't hate getting up in the morning?
After I came back?
Yeah, which is the horrible bit.
Well, none actually. It kind of...
Wow.
So I was a bit like... I was a bit like...
Dislocated. In a
weird state. Yeah. Like, but I didn't have so much trouble going to sleep, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's never been a problem for me. It's the getting up when your body thinks it's 2 a.m. I find that really hard. Because you're cold and you hate everybody.
Yeah, I don't have that problem.
Oh, so envious.
Well, I have the hate everybody part, but not...
that's just 24/7, right? So, yeah.
But I don't have that problem, like, getting up.
Hmm. Okay.
It's just because I'm so well adjusted.
And obviously, that must be.
Yeah. But,
Well, interesting. All right, well, I guess you can figure out what does and doesn't work. If you're going to do this repeatedly. Repeated experiments, this is good. You have a chance to like iterate and embellish on the experimental design.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if this is like a man in his 30s thing. I suspect so.
How do you mean?
I suspect it's like the same kind of impulse that I had like yesterday. Like, I should, get into making really good coffee.
Like, okay. This is very early. This is the leading edge of your midlife crisis.
Well, I have been there before, but, like, you get these urges to like, do something very properly. Mm. Because something.
Mm.
And doing, like, tracking.
Quantifying yourself. Yeah.
It's like in that department.
Yeah, I see a lot of people go through phases of doing this. And it's more of them are men, because you said something about being a man. It's 30s, more of them are men. I'm not sure they're all. And it makes me wonder whether men generally have more leisure time to be thinking about this shit.
Well, we work all the time to
yeah, so you're very busy earning the families, blah, blah, yeah.
And we also have to think about how to save the world, right?
Sure. You go ahead and let me know when you've done that. That's nice.
Yeah.
Are we going to podcast in 2019? Will there be more?
We have still a swearing episode.
We do. We have an episode in January, which I have a plan for, if you're up for that. Cool. All right.
So I guess stay tuned.
Okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Pictures of Czech communion to follow, I guess.
Yeah, if you want to be sent a taste.
These do not travel well. But we can probably link you to things on the internet that can show you how to bake them. Taking these to work is like these little crescent things. These are they don't usually survive very well.
Yeah, long. You're taking them to work, you say?
I die sometimes taking them to work.
Yeah.
To bribe my colleagues.
Your work. That... Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. That it? Was that it? Was that the episode?
I think so.
Huh. All right.
Ha det bra. Just for å høre på.
Takk for at jeg hørte på. Det bra. Yeah. That has to be next time. It's not yeah, even...
It's not official yet.
Nei, det ikke. Altså,
vent litt.
Passer på... Den vil ikke stoppe. Jo.